tapes and scales.
Tapes and scales.
Gotta get me some tapes and scales.
Definitely.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
How are you?
I can speak for me. I'm good.
Can you speak for them?
They're okay. They're a little itchy.
Okay, that is probably a rash.
You think so?
It could be. Where is it located?
It depends on the person.
Oh, so but they all have it.
They all, to an extent, have it.
Okay, I think only fire can cleanse this.
All right, everybody. So send your address in to mad_dog_Tim at Twitter because he's going to have to come immolate you.
Yeah, I'll do it.
He'll make it as painless as immolation can be.
Yeah, no, I'm not a monster.
No, he's just getting done what needs to be done for the greater good.
That's right. America.
had to go with the America.
America. Welcome, everybody, to Tapes and Scales. We're having a good old time. We are talking movies. We seem to love them. This episode sponsored by, who should sponsor us?
How about Hess?
Hess?
Hess.
Hess Trucks?
Hess Trucks.
Hess Trucks. Can't buy them in gas stations anymore.
No.
But they're available online.
They are. You can buy them for Hess. Christmas this year.
Hess. Yeah, for Christmas this year.
Hess Trucks here.
Do-do-do. Yeah, so this episode's sponsored by Hess.
Yeah.
For some reason,
We're really lucky to get that sponsorship.
Yeah, no, it's paying crazy dividends.
We have so many trucks.
That they're just... we're just giving them away.
Hess Truck.
Hess Trucks here. Max, start us off, buddy.
Sure. It's not going to be a pleasant start.
Oh, good.
So I'm continuing on my Universal Monsters train. And
we hit
a first speed bump.
This sounds like an 80s cartoon, the Universal Monsters train.
It does. Like every car has a different monster in it.
No. There's too much water in mine. It's leaking from Gilman's Cave.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, didn't they have the Groovy Ghoulies? I think I just invented something that existed.
You probably did.
Oh.
So this came out in 1943. I'm talking Phantom of the Opera.
Nice.
No, not that one.
Oh.
Not the silent one, not the one with the Phantom that you would recognize. This is the in-color version. It is directed by Arthur Lubin. It has Claude Rains, the Invisible Man, which is pretty sweet. And it
always
also has
good.
Susanna Foster. Did I write that?
I don't know.
We're going to go with Susanna. I mean, God only knows if I butchered that one. I really wrote that crappily.
Hey, she might be dead.
I don't think she cares.
Sorry, the estate of.
Movie summary. I wrote Phantom of the Opera because come the hell on.
Come the hell on. You know what the Phantom of the Opera is about.
Yeah, get the hell out of here. This movie is beautiful to look at from a production standpoint. Their production design was gorgeous in this movie. Really pretty. They're obviously staging the opera, so like the stage looks great. All the sets they built look great. And the problem is once the movie starts to get gritty and we go under the opera house to where the Phantom is, it still looks really nice and pretty and not gritty at all. Mm. The Phantom is kind of a little, he's like modern movie unattractive, where it's just like, okay, you have some red on your face. You're unsexy now, I guess.
You're 1940 Seth Rogen.
It reminds me of, did you see Ready Player One?
No, I actually didn't.
Okay. Ready Player One, the female character, the female protagonist is like really upset. She has like rosacea on her face. So for the movie, they just put like a little bit of red kind of here on this girl's face who's like just super attractive Hollywood actress. It's like, oh yeah, you're hideous. I definitely wouldn't want anything to do with you. Like, this reminds me of that, where it's just like, this, come on. It's just so pretty and lovely, and I just didn't like it. I like the OG Phantom of the Opera, the silent film, where, you know what I mean, we have the classic Lon Chaney tape, nose up, hideous. Everybody knows that Phantom. That Phantom's great. It's iconic. It is exactly what you want from a Phantom. This doesn't have that.
Aww.
It's fine. It's Phantom of the Opera. The story's great. You know what I mean? Like, the music's fine. Everything's pretty good. It's just, to me, I think the word I would describe it is milquetoast. Like, it's boring. It's vibrant, but it's boring. Like, they were really taking advantage of color. But color is such a novelty to me now that it's lost on me.
Right.
So it's just like, it's lush. It's gorgeous. Don't get me wrong. And I think the restoration they did for the Blu-ray was great. But just overall, it's pretty milquetoast to me.
That's a shame.
Yeah. IMDb gave this a 6.5 out of 10. The beloved 6.0. Middlings.
I just feel like their rating machine starts on that, and then you can choose to change it.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a critic rating of 76%. Audience, 77%. So Max is going to buck the trend and give it a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, it felt like a 4 was coming.
Yeah, it's underwhelming. And, I mean, if you have seen this particular Phantom of the Opera, let me know. Or let Tim know, and he'll let me know.
I'll let him know.
You can also hit us up, Superliminal FLM, on Twitter, but I don't use that. Dan does.
Dan will let you know.
Dan will let me know, but meh. It's just not the best one by a long shot. Like, I like the one with Robert Englund more.
Well, of course.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Meh, meh. Meh, of course that one, Shay. Yeah. Meh, Robbie Englund, yeah.
Yeah.
Meh.
What do you got?
What do I got? Well, I've got a documentary.
Whoa.
We're going documentary again. Here we go. You ready?
Sure.
Gilbert.
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 Okay.
Do you know which Gilbert it is?
The one from Revenge of the Nerds.
That is correct. It's a short film. Gilbert Godfrey. It's about Gilbert Godfrey.
Nice.
This is from 2017. I watched it on the 15th of March. It's an hour, 34 minutes, documentary, biography, comedy. Gilbert is a wildly funny and unexpectedly poignant portrait of the life and career of one of comedy's most iconic figures, Gilbert Godfrey. Now, before I explain the movie, how do you even feel about Gilbert Godfrey?
Fine.
Yeah.
Like, there's some stuff he's done that's made me laugh. I mean, I grew up with Aladdin, so he will always forever be Iago to me.
Sure. I think that's what he is to a lot of people. I don't think enough people know how incredibly raunchy he is.
Oh, yeah. Filthy.
He's disgusting. He's one of the most disgusting comedians.
He's like
ever.
Bob Saget.
Yeah, he's. I'm pretty sure Bob Saget learned it from
yes.
him. Yes. I learned it by watching you.
That's right.
So if you aren't familiar with that, you'll learn it here. It's a very interesting portrayal of his life. I mean, it's him. It's him being interviewed. But the things they choose to talk about, it focuses a lot on his family life mm-hmm. because no one knows he has a family.
Right.
He's never really talked about his wife, his kids. So they talk about that. He's been with his wife forever.
Nice.
And she's like, yeah, he's a little weird. He's a weird guy, but I love him. And
sure.
You know, the kids are great. And
they're alive still.
They're alive doing things.
Sure.
But it also focuses on like he physically, he's not like in the best of shape.
Right.
He's kind of like got unusual posture.
And oh, yeah, for sure.
It shows like the pains of him going on a mini tour or,
right.
or whatever. Him just getting around, getting a cab and everything. Like, it's not fun. It focuses a lot on his family beyond his immediate family. Talks about his sister a lot. And it's just really, like, heartwarming. And I was surprised by that, actually.
Nice.
I didn't expect that. I will lightly spoil something.
Sure.
Because it started as a complaint of mine. I was like, oh, why are we focusing so much on the sister?
Okay.
So much on this. She dies by the end of the filming. And then I felt like a scumbag.
I guarantee they didn't know that. And then that's part of the documentary.
And
you film, you film, you film, you film, and then you build
right.
your narrative.
And like
out
she's
of there.
She was cool. She was really interesting to hear from. But I'm like, why so much? And then you were like, oh,
yep.
I'm sure he wanted that. And
sure, it's a nice way to do it, right?
It definitely is. I believe it was cancer that took her out. But this movie is really, really solid, and it's surprisingly heartwarming. It really
nice.
Is something I recommend. If you're a fan of comedy, it's cool to see the other comedians talk about him, both, you know, younger and older
sure.
generation of comedians.
Because he's been around for quite some time.
A very long time. And then they tackle all of that. So it's not a lot that I can really give you beyond that, just saying you should watch it. I think it's a good watch, and
sure.
I think you'll enjoy it. I enjoy Gilbert Godfrey. I enjoyed him more after watching this.
Excellent.
So I didn't say who directed it. It was Neil Berkeley, stars Gilbert Godfrey.
Whoa.
And then the next top build is Dave Attell, because he showed up, and Joy Behar. So they just picked some people.
Sure. Comedians.
Comedians, go. IMDb gives us a 7.6
okay.
out of 10, which I think is low.
Okay.
A little low. Rotten Tomatoes gives it 95% out of 20 reviews.
Nice.
Audience gives it 87%
okay.
out of 211 reviews. And my score, which I also think is low, is a 7. I
okay.
gave it a 7. Now that I rethought it, I was like,
yep.
wow, that's kind of low. Because it's a really good documentary. It there's no part of his life they don't touch on. Nothing is, you know, behind closed doors. It's really well done documentary.
Nice.
So should I amend it? No, it's a 7.
It's a 7.
It's a 7.
7's good.
7 ain't bad.
No. That's pretty much where you want to be.
Oh, you know, and one of the best parts easily is the whole Affleck, him losing mm-hmm. that and talking about that. Oh, man. It's good. It's good to see, like, the other side of that argument. Nice. It's good. Watch it.
Where did you watch it?
I believe this one was on Hulu. I want to say this was on Hulu.
There you go, people. I went back, because I am a big fan, and I know you're a fan of some of his work. Nicholas Winding Refn, mm-hmm. director of Bronson, which mm-hmm. I know you did quite a bit.
I love Bronson.
Director of Drive, director of God Only Forgives, Neon Demon. I wanted to go back and kind of expand my knowledge of his body of work, so I went back and I watched his first film, which happens to be part of a trilogy that he made.
Okay.
And this first film is a film called Pusher.
Pusher.
It is a Danish crime movie.
Oh, wow.
And it's an odd one. He directed it, obviously. He is in it a little bit. Mads Mikkelsen is in it.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's great.
Kim Bodina is in it. And Zlatko Burek.
Good old Slotty.
Zlatko will be in all of these movies because... spoiler alert, I watched all three of these in a row.
Get ready for it.
Yes, I watched this in April of this year. It is 1 hour and 50 minutes long, and the summary is drug dealer Frank, who's played by Kim Bodina, was fronted the money by Zlatko Burek's character, who's a higher-level drug dealer, for a little bit of heroin that he can get a deal on, and during him getting the deal, he has to escape the cops and ditch the heroin to avoid getting charged with possession. So, and obviously intent to distribute, all that good stuff. So now he gets out of jail and he owes this higher level drug dealer a bunch of money that was fronted for these drugs that are now gone.
Mm.
And he has to go on a desperate, like, spree kind of thing to try to get this money back.
Oh, that sounds intense. Knowing this director.
Yes.
This sounds intense.
Yes. And it's what really struck me about it is how confident he was with everything. This was his first movie, and he just understands where he wants to put the camera. He understands the story he wants to tell. He understands when to go to a close-up. He understands when to go to a wide. He's not afraid to use handheld if he needs it. Digging needs to do that. It doesn't look cheap, which is a lot of people like, you know, hold it and it's shaky. And so it doesn't feel cheap in the hands of an auteur like Nicholas Winding Refn. It's just, he does such a good job from top to bottom. The pacing's great in this movie because it's just tense the whole time. You love and hate, like, you can sympathize and you dislike Frank for being who he is.
Sure.
And, like, he takes advantage of people. You see what kind of a sleazeball he is, truly, once things get rough for him and he really needs to get this money, how horrible he is, begging his mother for money, trying to shake her down, his girlfriend who's, like, a professional lady. Like, it's just all wretched crap, and it's just like you see kind of how awful and to what extremes he'll go to save himself.
The important question is, when does Mads Mikkelsen come in?
Mads Mikkelsen is in it from the beginning. He is Frank's buddy, who is an even lower level drug dealer.
But is he as big of a scumbag?
A bit more like of a punk.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, he thinks he's cool, he's young, he's hip, and he's like, but he's dumb. And like, it's Mads Mikkelsen.
Right.
This is young-ass Mads Mikkelsen.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta watch this.
Yeah, it's good.
Very good. Well, I want to ask you if it holds up as a trilogy, but I don't want to ask you because I'm sure you'll tell me it's coming soon.
That's right. for this particular film, IMDb score of 7.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critical, 83%.
Okay.
Audience, 85%. I came in a little lower, closer to IMDb score at 7.5.
All right. Well, I mean, those are all solid scores.
It's
for a first time out, especially.
Yeah, for a director's first film. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's real good. I do believe that he did Pusher, then I believe he went on and did another movie, then Pusher 2, and then Bronson.
Okay.
Or it could be Bronson right before Pusher 2.
Okay.
So it's all... So basically, he did this movie to try to, you know, grow his career, and he made a bunch of money off the movie and ended up, through the deals he made, ended up not making any money. He thought he was going to make all this money and didn't.
Mm.
So then then the way he made the movie, he had to make Pusher 2 in order to pay back money he owed for borrowing for this movie that he couldn't repay.
The weird irony of that.
Yes. It's a wild story for why Refn had to do these Pusher movies, and it's...
That's wild.
Yeah. Dude is crazy, as he is prolific.
I would almost hope he's crazy after seeing Bronson.
It's he's definitely an auteur. I'll give him that.
That's fantastic.
So what do you got?
Well... Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Automata.
Okay.
Automata from 2014. I watched this on March 16th, 2019.
It's not Automata?
Maybe.
Is it about a robot or something?
It is.
Okay, yeah, Automata.
Automata? Yeah. Well, that's different. Now it makes sense. No, I'm just kidding.
Automata.
Automata. It's an hour, 49 minutes. The
genre
is action, sci-fi, thriller. There was action. Jacques Vauquin. Sounds like a French name, doesn't it?
Is that the director?
No, this is the character.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to the director in a second.
Okay.
Sounds French, right?
Very much.
Do you want to know who plays this character?
Ooh, somebody not French even slightly.
Do you remember who I told you shows up in every movie? There's two people that show up in every movie that I watched. One is Jason Momoa, which is not in this movie.
It's not this one. I don't know.
There's one other actor that shows up in a lot of things. Antonio Banderas.
Ah, yes, that's
plays
right.
Plays Jacques.
Oh, of course. Totally correct.
So Jacques is an insurance agent of ROC Robotics Corporation who investigates cases of robots violating their primary protocols against altering themselves. What he discovers will have profound consequences for the future of humanity.
Sounds kind of like Blade Runner.
It is directed by Gabe Ibanez, starring Antonio Banderas. I'm sorry, I have to say it that way.
That's fine.
Brigitte Hjort. Nope. And then Dylan McDermott.
I like Dylan McDermott.
Yeah, I do too. This movie is very Blade Runner-y. It's low budget Ghost in the Shell.
Sure.
This is a movie.
Is it the same guy who wrote Ghost in the Shell? Whoa, man. Wouldn't it be crazy if these robots tried to be not robots anymore?
No, this is that guy's little brother who's sitting outside his door like, I wonder what the cool kids are doing.
Getting a contact high?
Yeah, he's getting a contact high.
Okay.
And he's playing with his little army men and throwing them out the window, and they don't even have parachutes on.
Gotcha.
It's weird. I don't know why that's where I went. Anyways, this movie is not fun. This movie drags.
See, when you said it was that long, like, that's long for a low-budget feature.
That's long for a movie that drags as much as this one.
Right. Well, you're talking low-budget, right? So you're going to have to spend a lot of time going through exposition and ideas and trying to, like, riff on that, and that means clunky.
I mean, it didn't look like it was the worst budget. The robot peoples looked cool.
Right.
But I'm sure that was most of the budget.
Mm-hmm. That and Banderas.
Yeah.
French Banderas, no less.
French. Look, when you tell him he has to be French, he's like,
oui, oui.
Oui, oui. It's just a weird movie. This is another movie, like one of the other ones I said, where this sounds like the greatest book that didn't get written.
Sure.
Because as a book, this sounds great.
Yep.
Even having seen Ghost in the Shell and Blade Runner, like, this still is different enough to be interesting.
Right.
But this is, and the point of view of him being an insurance guy for a major corporation, where it's like, hey, go investigate this. Something's off about these robots. Just make sure that everything's okay.
Yep.
And you go and you check on them, and like the robot's like almost like a weird stripper robot, and it's just like, I like being a woman and human, and it's weird. It's a weird movie. I did not enjoy it pretty much at all.
Okay.
I wouldn't say Antonio Banderas is bad. I'm just saying he's not enough.
Sure.
And I don't think there's any reason somebody should watch this.
Fair enough.
And this isn't even the lowest rated movie I have. But I still don't think anybody should watch this.
Good enough.
I think it's a trap. Don't, just because you see Antonio Banderas, don't.
Don't watch your low-budget sci-fi movies that start with the letter A and have Clive Owen or Antonio Banderas in them.
It's totally true. If they're low-budget and it has a name in it, that's where the budget went.
Yep.
So avoid, caution, danger, Will Robinson. IMDb gives this a score of 6.1.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes, the critics gave it a score of 29%.
Okay.
The audience gave it a score of 30%.
Oh, boy.
I gave it a score of 2.5.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I could tell you more about this movie, but I don't want anything to strike your fancy that you watch it.
Good.
So don't.
Watch it. Watch Desperado.
Watch Desperado is the lesson. You get to see Danny Trejo throw knives at people.
That movie's great. I love Desperado.
Desperado's fantastic.
Yeah. So go watch that.
Yeah. Let's watch it right now.
Yeah. See ya.
All right.